New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The 49ers are 1-2. They seem fat and happy and unmotivated. And this is the crossroads of the Kyle Shanahan regime. We'll discuss what's the real issue next on Conan Hensley. Good morning. Welcome to Conan Hensley. That's Ryan G. Hensley. I'm Grant Cohn. The Niners are 1-2. They've lost two games in a row. And to me, this is a very interesting part of the 49ers saga. I mean, they've been in this situation before, but in the past, you could always blame Jimmy. And it's Jimmy's fault. And then they would figure it out. This year, it's certainly, well, it doesn't seem to be the quarterback's fault. I don't know. I don't want to put words into Ryan's mouth. Ryan, what do you think the 49ers' biggest issue is right now? Why are they 1-2?
The biggest issue for me right now, I mean, you could go special teams. That's always seems to be an issue last few years, but really it's defense. The defense to me is the biggest issue, and I think it's a combination of personnel and coaching. The 49ers last year fired Steve Wilks after holding teams to 17.5 points all year. This year so far, they're at 23 points per game, and if you're just looking at the first three games, Steve Wilks was 13.3 per game for the first three games. Whereas the current administration, if you want to call them that, Sorensen and Staley, which I think is probably Staley is my guess. If I'm being real, I think he's the real coordinator. They're at 23. So over 10 points more per game for the first three games and over 5.5 points if you want to look at the entire body of work for Steve Wilks last year.
And I think that's, I agree. It's got to be the defense, also the special teams. But that's disconcerting because from an outsider's perspective who didn't watch the games, you'd be like, oh, the issue is injuries. McCaffrey's out, Debo's out, Kittle's out. You know, Ayuk's coming back from not practicing this offseason. Like, the offense is rusty. Well, it's third in yards. It's fifth in yards per play. Like, the offense actually is doing well. Brock Purdy's playing well. Juwan Jennings, holy moly. Jordan Mason, really good. The offense, I mean, it could have been better. But it's not necessarily the reason the Niners are 1-2. It's the defense. And the defense is missing Greenlaw. Yeah. And he's a really good player. But otherwise, it's not really missing. Got a Funga back yesterday. And that didn't change anything. So that is very disconcerting. I mean, this defense was the best defense in the league 2 years ago. Now it's giving up 6.1 yards per play, which is third worst. Yeah. With Bosa and Fred Warner and Tre'Davious Ward and Lenore and Leonard Floyd, like, and Hargrave, that can't happen. It's almost unfathomable. And you've gone against some bad offenses.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think we can make too much of the Greenlaw absence. Like, Greenlaw, that is a big deal because, you know, you watch the 49ers game with Greenlaw and Warner, you're always seeing – Greenlaw is always flashing. Him and Warner flashing back and forth. Some days it'll have a better Greenlaw will have a better game than Warner. This year, I haven't even seen the linebackers do anything outside of Fred Warner. It's like they're not even on the field. They're not doing anything. So that is substantial, that Greenlaw absence. So I'm hoping he comes back at some point and he's healthy and he's the same Greenlaw that we've seen before. Devondre Campbell was not a good replacement for Dre Greenlaw. They absolutely need to go with one of these younger guys. I think Curtis Robinson is the guy. I really do. Give him a shot because he seems highly intelligent. He knows the system, and he flashed a lot in the preseason. So that's one move I would make right away. But even with that, I don't know if that's going to be the change that this team needs. I think it's a combination of this D-line is not as good as they thought. Nick Bosa is not playing. He's tied for 25th with two sacks. That's not good enough. You're the highest paid pass rusher in the NFL, the highest paid defensive player, I believe, in the NFL. What he's doing is not good enough. He's not living up to his contract. Javon Hargrave, he got a sack, but overall, I mean, not living up to his contract either. So there's a lot of guys not living up to the contract. I had the worst take of my, you know, I've made a lot of bad takes, but before the season, I said the 49ers defense is going to be top three in the NFL. They're bottom three right now. They're just not playing up to their potential, and that has to be on personnel and coaching.
Absolutely. And I think what's so disconcerting about this is, like, if the defense was the Niners defense, like it has been for the last 6-7 years, and the issue was injuries and the issue was the offense, you'd say, well, you know what? These guys are coming back. This team's going to go on a run. Like, it's okay. These aren't really the Niners right now. Once these guys get healthy, the defense is playing great. Just the offense will come around. Nothing to panic about. But what's going to fix this defense? It's not going to be McCaffrey. It's not going to be Debo or Kittle. It seems like, I mean, Steve Wilks isn't walking back through that door. I don't understand. That, to me, is why after these couple of games, we might need to reassess how many wins the Niners are going to, we expect the Niners to get this year. In fact, that'll be one of our topics a little later. Let's predict how many wins they're going to have. I originally had them winning 11 coming into this season. And now, I mean, I wasn't expecting the Niners to have one of the worst defenses in the league. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, me either. I thought they were going to win 12 coming into the season, and I look forward to going through that with you. Maybe we can look at the entire schedule. But, I mean, they're last place in the NFC West right now. They, the Cardinals beat the Rams. Rams beat us. We have the same record as those two teams. Seahawks are undefeated. They are fourth place in the NFC West. I would never imagine that this team would be in this situation right now, and a large part has to do with this defense just playing awful.
You know how, like, we always make fun of the Cowboys? Like, they're not a serious team. What's the difference between the Niners and the Cowboys? 1-2, bunch of drama, wide receiver held out, got paid, isn't producing. Good quarterback, crap defense. Sorry, I'm not going to curse today. I want to be a little bit more professional. But, like, very similar. And we look at the Cowboys as being this, like, circus that's not really serious about doing what it takes to win. What about the Niners? They lost to a team, the Rams, who have won. They do know what it takes. They don't have drama in the offseason. You don't hear about Rams players holding out. And if they do, they get traded.
Yeah. I mean, this defense is the problem. I mean, I don't think this defensive line is adequate.
Yeah.
If you look at the game we lost to the Vikings, if it wasn't for Fred Warner, they would have put up 14 more points on us. So Fred Warner single-handedly saved that game against the Vikings. Then they give up a 97-yard pass to Justin Jefferson, which is a bad play call. That was a play call issue. And then you look at this game, they gave up 27 points to the Rams, one of the worst teams in the NFL right now, with missing seven starters. It's inexcusable.
Yeah, it's inexcusable. Like, you got diced up by Tutu Atwell. No disrespect to Tutu Atwell, but he was like their third receiver at best, and he made the difference. Joel says, can we get a good D coordinator hired midseason? Hey, Steve Wilks is available. Can you imagine how happy he is right now? Like right now.
Yeah.
Probably fishing.
He probably was making the same facial expression. I don't know if you guys saw, but on the broadcast at the end of the game, they showed Jimmy Garoppolo on the sideline just smiling ear to ear. That's probably what Steve Wilks is feeling right now.
Jimmy. Matthew McBride says defense has to do their part and get some stops. Yeah. Dustin the Gale says, why did they QB sneak twice on 4th-and-1 at the 35, but then go for the field goal on 4th-and-1 at the 15 on the same drive? Is that true?
I don't know if it was 4th-and-1, but it was similar. Yeah.
I think it was 4th-and-2.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it though. I understand what you're saying.
Okay, so we both agree the defense is really the issue right now. Special teams is right there, frankly. But what is the defense's biggest issue? As Dante Whitner put it last night so well, let me try to speak clearly. code red for the defense. They're not doing anything well right now. They're not stopping the run. They're not rushing the quarterback. They're giving up explosive plays in the passing game. So given that it's just a complete, you know, poop show
yeah,
right now, what's their biggest issue?
I got to say is, you know, there's two things. Obviously, there's three things. I'll narrow it down like this. Greenlaw is a big deal. Missing Dre Greenlaw is a big deal because what they have behind him, at least in Devondre Campbell, is not even close. Now, I would love to see him, like we said, go with Curtis Robinson. Let's make a change there, and let's see if we can improve with one of these other younger dudes like Curtis Robinson. So that's one thing I would like to see that they can try this week against the Patriots. Two, this defensive line is just not good. They're not. Nick Bosa is not playing like the highest paid pass rusher in the NFL. Nick Bosa is a good player, but he's not what he's being paid to do. At least he's not performing like it right now. He's not anything close to when he was defensive player of the year. He's not performing at that level right now. Then you have Javon Hargrave, who slight improvement, I guess, go over last year, but still not even near what he's being paid. Not worth it. Malik Collins is good, but he's not a game changer. He's okay. And then Leonard Floyd has not really done much either. I was expecting more from him. He does have a good motor, and I like that about him. I'm not ready to write him off, but I think this defensive line is very subpar. So the absence of Dre Greenlaw and then the defensive line, but really more than anything, I think this defense is more talented than their level they're playing. They have the best linebacker in the NFL. Nick Bosa was defensive player of the year at one point. Travarius Ward, Yamin Lenore, very good. I mean, the issue is with coaching. They have to figure that part out. That's the main issue right now.
Yeah, the issue is very deeply rooted. I mean, it's not one or two things. I'm going to pull up a stat that Jesse Naylor tweeted 45 minutes ago. He writes, coaching matters. Yards per play defensively. Niners 6.1, third worst. Seahawks 3.9, NFL's best. Then he says pressure percentage. Niners 21.7%. They're getting pressure on 21.7% of their opponent's dropbacks. Meanwhile, the Seahawks are at 30% without their best pass rusher playing a single snap. The Niners blitz just 6.5% of the time, which is the lowest in the NFL. Rams are second lowest at 9.5. As we know, the Seahawks bring a whole lot of pressure, or they simulate it. This defense is lacking creativity, writes Jesse Naylor. Niners have gone from near the top of the league defense to one of the worst, while Seattle has done the opposite in just one season. Remarkable. I can't disagree with any of that. So part of it is just schematic. The Niners are outdated on defense. Kyle is stuck in the past where he's clinging to the Seattle style defense. Seattle doesn't even have that anymore. They're updated with the times, and it's paying off for them. Anyway, that's clearly a big issue, schematic, but I think it might even be bigger than that. We saw the clip of Javon Hargrave in the fourth quarter. It was the first play of a drive. He just stands straight up and does nothing the entire play. And if you go back, if you watch Javon Hargrave down in the down out, the effort just isn't there for more than a second or two per play. And it's not just him. Like, Nick Bosa isn't exactly the same player he was a few years ago in terms of effort. Like, it's scheme, but it's also effort. And this is supposed to be a coach that they bought into. So to me, it seems like they got Steve Wilks fired. Once you give players that kind of power, like who the coach is, who can get him to play hard at that point?
Yeah, and I said when they hired Staley and promoted Nick Sorensen that it was really Staley's actually your defensive coordinator. Nick Sorensen's the face for the players because they're not going to welcome in an outside guy. So I really think Staley's behind this, but I really think let me take that back. I really think Kyle is behind this. This is Kyle's
mess.
Yeah, they need to get creative. One thing I'm seeing this year in general is a lack of creativity on both the offensive side and the defensive side of the ball. They seem to be doing the same old thing, almost less creativity than we've seen in the past. It's this teams going against the Niners know exactly what to expect offensively and defensively. They need to just bring something new and ditch this old defensive scheme that they have and try something completely different.
Dude, if it's 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, and you need 8-9 yards, just do that little bunch formation on the right side and hit that little out route. The Niners can't stop it.
The Rams ran it against us.
And Vikings so, did it. I mean, yeah. It's easy. And so, again, like, if – because their issue last year was effort. If you fire Steve Wilks, what you're essentially doing is excusing the players' poor effort. It's not your fault, Nick. It's not your fault, Javon, that you guys didn't play up to your potential and didn't earn your contract and didn't play even give the requisite effort. It's not your fault. The coach didn't get it out of you. So we're going to get in, we're going to bring in another coach and he's going to make you play hard. So if you don't play hard this year, hey, it's Nick Sorensen's fault. It's never the player's fault that they didn't play hard. That has to be on them. And again, like if you scapegoat one defensive coordinator for it, I don't see how you expect the problem to go away. It seems like it's getting worse. Just watch 98 every play.
Well, when last year the main issue was effort, and then your response to the effort issue is to fire the defensive coordinator and not address the players not giving the effort. That's the problem, and that's the culture, and that's the tone you're setting, and it just continued on to this year, it seems like, at least for Javon Hargrave, at minimum. You just – that was
– And Bosa, I'm not saying he's dogging it, but he's not giving the effort he gave before he got paid. There's a distinct difference.
Yeah, it's frustrating, man, because I do feel like they're very talented. But there's some kind of issue when it comes to effort, and there's a big issue when it comes to scheme. They're not doing anything right. Like Dante Whitner said, that they're not doing anything well. And it's got to change, because if it doesn't, the 49ers are in for a long-ass season. This offense is actually playing pretty well without CMC, without Deebo Samuel. Brock Purdy, I thought, looked pretty damn good. A couple small missed opportunities that he could have took advantage of, but it shouldn't have to come down to that. If this defense isn't giving up 27 points to one of the first worst offensive teams in the league. Now, got to give credit to Sean McVay and Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford is one of the quarterbacks I consider elite in the NFL, and he showed you why. He didn't need Puka Nacua. He didn't need Cooper Kupp to do his thing last night. Sean McVay is a good play caller. They made the best of their situation, missing multiple starting offensive linemen, missing both their starting receivers. They were still able to make Tutu Atwell a star with Matt Stafford and Sean McVay. So you got to give some kind of credit to them. But this defense, there's no excuse. You can't get defeated by the Rams and this beat-up offense that they were going against and allow them to play the way they did. 6.1 yards per play, I believe, is the statistic for the 49ers are giving up. That's horrible. And yeah. I think, to me, it starts up front in the trenches. And one of the reasons why is there's no investment. The two investments I thought the 49ers were going to make this year were in the trenches. Offensive side, defensive side. I thought they were going to go after a D-tackle. They didn't. And they continue not invest in those positions. And you're seeing the consequences.
I got something else I want to say, too. We're seeing it right now, and I'm playing into it, and maybe I want to tone it down, but I feel like Ayuk deserves it, man. You wanted $30 million a year. This is the criticism that comes along with it. And if you watch the film, he's open. He's not getting all the opportunities, but at the same time, he did get 10 targets, and he got 5 catches, and it's fair to be like, dude, you didn't earn your contract today. And people are being ruthless with Ayuk, and I think it's fair. What about Bosa, man? Bosa makes more than Ayuk. Bosa is doing the same thing, and he's been doing it since last year. He doesn't make the impact that a $34 million a year player should be making. He's now the most expensive player on a defense that is bad, and he comes out and just has very little to say. Now, when he does say things, it actually – there's some substance there. With Ayuk, sometimes it feels like he just doesn't want to talk at all. But really, like, both of them seem embarrassed. Both of them seem equally embarrassed standing there being like, man, I don't know what to tell you. I got the money. I'm supposed to be making the impact, and I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not only Bosa. It's Hargrave, too. Like Hargrave, yep. What, $20 million a year? He's not
21.
21. Nah, he's not even close to that level.
Two of them.
Yeah, it's both of them. One thing I did like from Bosa, what he said yesterday, is we got to feel it. And maybe that's the issue. I mean, he spoke out on it, talking about we have to feel this loss. Because I think the 49ers, and it goes back to, and I defended Deebo when he said, I wear the best team, because I want you to think you're the best. But, I mean, this defense is not even close to the best. I tweeted out before the season, I think there's going to be a top three defense. D'Amador Lenore, who I do like and who has been playing pretty damn well, retweeted and says, we've been that, right? So there's this attitude that they think they're, oh, it was just a mistake. We'll be fine. No, Bosa says we need to feel it. You need to feel this loss. You need to understand that you're not the best and you have to do way freaking better than how you've been playing so far. So that was one thing I did like from Bosa, but you know, he's not playing up to his contract. Neither is Hargrave. I mean, Warner's probably one of the few people, Charvarius Ward, one of the two people on this defense that are actually playing up to their contract. Outside of that, no. And on the offensive side of the ball, you know, it's week three now. I was one of the guys that really wanted Brandon Ayuk to come back for much cheaper and earlier, but I did want him to come back, and he's not playing up to his contract either. So there's going to be no more excuses made from me at this point. It's time to step up and earn your money.
One thing I do appreciate about Bosa is that after a loss, you can see that he feels it. Like, he's not shrugging it off and being like, oh, one of those things. He seems like he feels it. Like, he emotionally has a reaction, and he seems like he gives the most honest answers as to what happened. That being said, he needs to play better. Like, it's great that you're super good with the media now, and that's definitely a part of being the highest paid player on the team, but you also have to play better. And it's not just getting a sack or two a game. That's great, but it's like down in and down out effort, run defense, pressure, all of it. So I just don't think he should skate. Like, Bosa, Ayuk's getting crushed, and I think it's fair. So Bosa should get crushed too. Let's go positive for a minute. Brock Purdy was under the microscope. How's he going to do without all of these weapons? And even the one guy who's there, Brandon Ayuk, isn't really there yet. And three touchdowns, almost 300 yards. Three touchdowns, quarterback rating of like 130, 140. I should know the numbers. I'm sorry. But he was really, 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 really good. Yeah. There was a deep throw to Brandon Ayuk that he chose not to attempt, which is strange. And we'll ask him about that this week. But No one's perfect. Did his price tag go up or down in this game?
Yeah, Brock Purdy, 22 of 30, 292 yards, three touchdowns. Brock Purdy played really
well. And a fumble. He did lose a fumble for the second week in a row. He needs to not do that. But other than that
fumble, honestly, I put that on Colton McKivitz. He got absolutely cooked. And like, that's on Colton. So I don't blame Brock for that. Do I think Brock's price tag has gone up, to answer your question? Yes. Do I think here's Brock, man. Fantastic leader, fantastic attitude, great mindset. I love all that about him. Extremely mobile, extremely consistent. Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, believe it or not, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, two of the most consistent quarterbacks in the NFL, statistically, if you look at them. Brock Purdy's only had maybe one disastrous game throughout his career where you're like, oh, he lost the game, which was against the Ravens. Outside of that, Brock always gives you a chance, right? Brock is a really, really good quarterback. His price tag is going up because he is one of the most consistent quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's proving that. Will he ever be elite? I'm not sure. He's up there. He's top 12, top 10 for me. Is he in that top echelon of elite quarterbacks? To me, that's make that throw to Brandon Ayuk.
And I would have to say so. I'd have to agree. Because let's not forget that the Rams have the worst defense in football. They're giving up 6.8 yards per play. And the week before, Kyler Murray, I mean, diced them up worse than Purdy did, to be fair.
They are the worst defense in the NFL. So what you saw yesterday was 27 points, minus CMC, minus Debo, but against the worst defense in the NFL. And he did have that opportunity, Brandon Ayuk, to seal the game. Now, again, it's like the Super Bowl. I don't think Brock Purdy lost the Super Bowl, but he had an opportunity to win it, and he didn't.
Don't understand why he didn't throw that pass to Ayuk. It was open. He saw it. Turning that down is a Jimmy decision. It's strange. And what did he do on that play? He scrambled around for a long time and made nothing happen?
Got 3 yards. Now, I had a Croc and Vish actually on this morning, and they pointed out a play. We showed a play, another play, where you had the tight end, Solbert. Prior to that, same thing. Brock Purdy dropped back. Solbert was wide open for a first down, and that also would have sealed the game. I didn't see this live. They pointed it out to me. So Brock Purdy is great. Really good. I'll put it that way. Brock Purdy is really, really good. Great at a lot of things. Elite when it comes to leadership mentality. But the one thing that's stopping him from being one of the upper echelon quarterbacks in the NFL is – in those moments, sealing the deal. When you have a Brandon Ayuk deep on a post route that will win you the game, you got to make that throw and you got to hit it. And you can't say, oh, he didn't trust Brandon Ayuk because of the drops. There were a lot of drops in this game, by the way. A lot from Ronnie Bell. I think people are throwing out the number six. We'll see what the actual statistics numbers are. Some of those drops from Brandon Ayuk were actually punched out, not more like PBUs than actual drops. So I'm curious to see the numbers. But Brock played really good without his stars. Can't take that away from him. But he did have an opportunity to seal the deal, and he didn't do it.
Yeah. I do think, though, that his stock went up and his price tag went up because a lot of people think he couldn't do what he did without all those players. Now, I almost feel like Kyle Shanahan forcing Deebo Samuel into the offense, may have hurt Brock. Like, let's go back to the Super Bowl. Brock had opportunities. He didn't get it done. True. What if instead of 11 targets for Deebo in that game, there were 11 targets for Juwan? And that's something that the play caller has control over. I mean, yeah, there are concepts in your play sheet, but there are also, you can organize it by who's the primary target on this play. And you can call the ones where Juwan's the primary target, or you can make him the primary target. And they did that yesterday. It was so efficient. It's been super efficient for a long time. The Deebo Samuel volume wide receiver thing has never been an efficient proposition. Anyway, I don't really know where I'm going with this, but yeah, Brock Purdy, I was impressed. I didn't think he was going to play that well. I didn't think he was going to play as well as he did.
I was impressed with Brock Purdy and his scrambling ability.
Yeah.
It just seems to me that Brock, I'll put it this way, man. Like, to your point, it feels like there's progressions laid out, and Kyle Shanahan tells Brock what those progressions are. And regardless of what happens post-snap, he sticks with those progressions. And a lot of the times the focus is on a certain player. It's Deebo Samuel Day for the 49ers, according to Kyle Shanahan.
It's been Deebo Samuel Day a lot of days on the Niners.
Yeah, or CMC Day, which usually works out. Because
back and forth.
A great player.
Yesterday was Juwan Jennings Day.
I think it was you and I, or at least, I don't know. We talked about it on the four-man front.
We did.
Offense to not have that. I want Brock, like, I don't care what Kyle Shanahan tells you prior to the play. Once the ball is snapped, the priority should be on what's open. What is the defense doing, right? Like, you can have an idea of what's going to happen before the play, but once the ball is snapped, things could be different. And so regardless of what your progressions are, who's open, make the play. That's next level elite quarterbacking in the NFL. And I don't blame this loss on Brock Purdy at all. Brock Purdy did enough to win this game. Putting up 27 points and the numbers he did should have been enough to win this game. The defense, special teams are the reason why they lost last night, and also Kyle Shanahan's decision to play Ronnie Bell over Cowan or Chris Conley. But he did have opportunities to be elite in this game, and he didn't quite hit those marks.
All day, every day, Kim says the way Kyle runs this team is prehistoric. Put him in a museum ASAP. JDM408 says, to be fair, no one expected both Tutu and Juwan to pop off like that. Both guys are wide receiver three and stepped up. Niners didn't capitalize on Juwan's game. Rams did with Tutu. I don't know. I feel like I've been saying since the offseason that Juwan needs more targets and would do well with the bigger share of the offense.
Can we be honest? Juwan Jennings should at minimum be wide receiver two.
I agree.
Deebo is a weapon. He's not a wide receiver. He's really not. He's a wide back. He's a weapon. He's not a wide receiver. He doesn't run routes and get open, and that's why targeting him so heavily in the passing game is very inefficient.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Richie says, time to move on from the wide nine. Staley can't implement his full scheme if Kyle Shanahan is trying to hold on to the old scheme. Okay. Okay, I'm with you on that. The Niners did ditch the wide nine for large stretches in this game. There was a lot of five-man fronts with Jordan Elliott playing nose tackle. We saw that. Still didn't work. Shane Cooley says, we sure that Kyle knows who his best players are? Seems that Jennings' development has been stifled. He didn't know that Jordan Mason was better than Elijah Mitchell until everyone in the world knew it. He didn't know that Juwan Jennings was just good until everyone in the world knew it. He didn't know that Brock Purdy was just good until he was proving it on the field. Jacob Cowling seems to be the next one, or Renardo Green.
Yeah.
Good question. Dark Halo says this is a culture issue, zero accountability. Yeah. The Vikings and Rams both have a better culture than the Niners. No question. Not necessarily better teams. Sean S says the problem the Niners have is always getting rid of players late instead of 1 year early.
Bill Walsh.
Austin says Campbell and Foles are slow and can't cover. Jesse Jr. says, after that great game by Brock yesterday, has anyone given him thought to Brock not wanting to re-sign with the Niners and the current coaching staff next year? No.
I don't think he's going to get paid more anywhere else.
Keith Murphy says, 2 out of 3 games, Kyle outcoached. Correct. Proppa says, the team will feel the loss this week, then win a couple of games and get complacent again, rinse and repeat. Tired of lazy, overpaid players. Much more fun to watch guys who haven't been paid yet and play hard. That's really cynical, and I pretty much agree with it. That's what the 2014 Niners did. They started off, they won one game, and they're like, we did it! Lost two. Won three. We're great! And then lost a bunch, and then finished 8-8, and Jim got fired, Harbaugh got fired, and frankly, you could kind of see that he was losing that team.
The younger players are more hungry because they haven't been paid yet, for one. And not only that, you want to play the younger players because they're on cheaper contracts, right? And you're not even taking advantage of the cheap contracts. You're letting them sit for a year or 2 years, and by then you only have 1 or 2 years left on the cheap contract. And then instead you're paying these old veterans.
Who are going to break down. It's football.
Yep.
Luis Medeiros says, if you drop passes, muff, and fumble on a consistent basis, normally you get cut. But somehow Ronnie Bell is still allowed to hurt the team. Why? We will talk about that next. Soon. Lil Shanny says, I quit. This team is pathetic.
Don't quit.
Don't quit. Well, you can if you want. Lil Shanny. Look, Kilo T Dub says, if everyone thought Kyle blowing another 10-point lead was bad, just wait until this Sunday when he blows another 25-point lead against the Patriots. Joseph Ernberg says, worried the need to impress Kyle Holden. Hold on. Worried the need to impress Kyle Holden BP back.
Well, wait till he gets paid. We'll see what happens then.
Nick Falcon says, disgraceful loss. We've been here before. Thank you, Nick. All right. Brandon Ayuk's taking a lot of heat. I mean, he brought it on himself to a degree going on those podcasts, talking about 26 was a slap in the face, not in those words, but he got the 30 and having a slow start to the season. To be fair, CeeDee Lamb did the same thing with Dallas and is also having a slow start to the season, although not as slow as Brandon. 10 targets in this game, 5 catches, 43 yards. Could have had more if Brock pulled the trigger, but he didn't. And now it's looking like Juwan Jennings might be the best receiver on the team. Was this Mondo Brandon Ayuk extension a mistake?
So first of all, I'm going to say time will tell. It's very early.
Have to have a definitive answer 2 games into it. Come on, 3.
My bad. Here's what I'll say.
I set you up on that one.
Time will tell. But here's my feelings on it right now. First of all, during the broadcast, I don't know where this interview came from or where she talked about it, but it was mentioned a woman during the broadcast. I don't know who it was talking about Trent Williams. And I guess she asked him, has it been hard to play football after the holdout and missing the entire preseason? And he said, it's been extremely hard for him. So this whole question, like, just holding out, missing the preseason affect these players in the regular season, was answered by Trent Williams. Yes. It makes it extremely hard. It makes it extremely difficult, according to Trent Williams himself. We saw it a lot from Nick Bosa last year, and we're seeing it right now from Brandon Ayuk. We've seen what Brandon Ayuk can do in the past. I don't think he's all of a sudden just fallen off. I think Brandon Ayuk is a good player, and that eventually he'll get up to speed. I don't know how long that's going to take him, but eventually he'll get up to speed and be the guy that we have known him to be. Even with that being said, I was always a let's extend Brock Purdy early guy because I wanted them to get him locked in because I like Brandon Ayuk, everything he does. It should have been done earlier so they could have saved some money. At $30 million in this offense that Kyle Shanahan runs, you do have to question whether it was a mistake because it's not even a passing offense. Brandon Ayuk had about 4.9 targets per game last season. The same as Christian McCaffrey had like 4.1, 4.2. They don't really, you can't, it's hard to justify that contract. As much as I like Brandon Ayuk and think he's going to be back, it's really hard to justify paying a wide receiver that much in this offense. So to answer your question, time will tell. I know that's a cop out, but I do question it now at this price point.
I mean, at this season so far through 3 games, he's catching 55% of his targets. Last year was 71. He's averaging 10.8 yards per catch. Last season it was 17.9. Those numbers should rebound a bit, but it just feels like it's not that he's a fraud. Like, he is good, but so is Jennings. Like, you don't have to pay $30 million a year for good wide receiver play. He's not Justin Jefferson. You're not getting that level of an impact player. You're getting a good wide receiver, but I mean, Jennings is good. Cowing might be good. Pearsall might be good when he comes back. Like, there's a lot of good wide receivers. And the idea that he was so essential or so, not even integral, but like integral, or like he was going to get so many plays were going to go through him the way they do in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson. It's never made sense. And now that Juwan Jennings has like asserted himself, it's like, ah, man, like that now, that's a position you'd like to be saving money because your number one wide receiver is making $8 million a year. Like,
yeah.
Wow. Now you can like reinvest and you can keep D'Amador Lenore. Wouldn't it be nice to keep D'Amador Lenore? Like, there's an ascending young cornerback, but they may not be able to because they're spending so much on this position. And like you said earlier, like maybe the right move was to like trade Debo. Debo is not as good as Juwan Jennings.
I think the right move was, I said it during the offseason, the right move was to trade Debo before the draft and get some compensation back and roll with Brandon Ayuk, sign him early, maybe for like 26, 28 maximum. If you done it early and you were aggressive with it, you could have got some compensation back for Debo. The reality is, though, this league in general, unless you do all have a Justin Jefferson type wide receiver, and unless you are a passing offense, which this team really is not, it doesn't really make sense to pay these wide receivers this kind of money. I like Brandon Ayuk, and I think he was incredible. I think he was underutilized in the Super Bowl, and I think he's a hell of a player. But I just think in this offense, the way they use them, and with the amount of talent coming out of the draft every year, it probably would have been smarter to allocate those funds somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at Jennings right now. He's averaging 15.3 yards per catch. He's catching 71% of his targets. He's going freaking crazy. He's averaging 6 catches a game. That should go up. And like, everyone's talking about Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice is the number one receiver on the Chiefs. Obviously, Travis Kelce's their go-to guy, but Rashee Rice has really established himself and they throw to him a lot. He's leading the league in catches. He's averaging 12 yards a catch. He has 2 touchdowns. Like, I feel Juwan Jennings is a better player than Rashee Rice, and he just doesn't get featured, and this other people make more money than him. But really, if you just had Kittle and Jennings, it's more than most teams have. It's more than most teams have. And again, Jennings had 4 targets week 2.
Yeah.
What if he had 10? Would they have beaten the Vikings? How many games could they have won that they lost the last few years just because they had a freaking monster on the bench?
Yeah, to me, man, I don't know. Juwan Jennings, he's getting all the look right now. He was the guy in the preseason that's healthy. If Debo was here, I don't know if Juwan Jennings would be getting as much play. And I think this is a good thing for the 49ers to see that Juwan Jennings has his capability. And they really need to stop forcing the ball to Debo. And I think Debo would be actually more effective if he was more of a surprise for defense. Instead of defenses knowing that the ball's going to go to Debo all the time, if he was more of a surprise and used sparingly, he could be more effective and probably be healthier, actually, also, which is another thing. But I don't know about this Ayuk extension. I wanted them to sign Ayuk because I think he's a very good player. But that was, look, if you went before last season, if you extended Brandon Ayuk and you made him the 3rd highest player in the NFL, that's $24 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the time was right. That's what the Texans did with Nico Collins. You have to jump out early, but because of the delay, he misses the offseason, and now you're paying him $30 million a year. So that's the difference between what would have been smart for Brandon Ayuk and what they ended up doing with Ayuk. And now he's got a high contract to live up to.
Yeah, like they say in football.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Oh, you're getting better. You're getting worse. You never stay the same. Ayuk was steadily getting better for 4 years. I mean, he was the guy who, you know, was in perfect condition, came to all the practices. He was the model young player. And then he did this offseason where he held out, and now he's not getting better. He may get better down the line, but he's clearly worse. He's not in the same condition. He's not as fast as he used to be. He's not as good of a route runner as he used to be. He's dropping more passes. Just like clearly got worse because he didn't do enough this offseason. Whereas Jennings clearly is getting better. He was good down the stretch last year. He's a better player now. He had a hell of an offseason and it's paying off. Like, that's football. Just because Ayuk was better last year, that has nothing to do with this year. Nothing.
And I do think Brandon Ayuk will get better. And if it's not this year, it'll be next year. I don't think Brandon Ayuk has hit his prime, but he's got to put in this work to get back. If we haven't learned anything, if we have learned anything this year about the 49ers, it's that how important this offseason and just NFL in general, how important the offseason, the training camp, the preseason is for players. And you're seeing that evidently with Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams.
One more thing I want to mention it before we move on. Look around the league. There isn't a lot of examples of like two of the most expensive positions are quarterback and wide receiver. Like every year, it seems like the going rate for a top level Brandon Ayuk-ish, Brock Purdy-ish player at those positions goes up $10 million. So you got to be certain when you give out those contracts. And I don't see teams paying for both at the same time winning Super Bowls. We've seen teams spending a lot on their quarterback win a Super Bowl. And we've seen teams spending a lot on their wide receiver win a Super Bowl. But I'm not sure you can do both. Because once you're spending 65, I mean, look at the Cowboys. Once you're spending 65 on Dak and 34 on CeeDee, chances are you're going to have the worst defense in the league, which they do. So, or one of them. The Niners aren't there yet, but they're trending that direction, and they haven't even paid Brock yet. So, yeah, man, I think it was a mistake, but time will tell.
This offseason, we'll see how the season goes, but this offseason is going to be tumultuous with all these different decisions they're going to have to make. It's going to be extremely interesting.
It's going to be extremely interesting. I agree. Okay. Should the Niners cut Ronnie Bell? Second year on the team. They gave him 30 snaps, like 42% of the offensive snaps. They must have trusted him. He clearly knows the offense. He went to Michigan. He has to be smart. Problem is, when the ball goes to him, whether it's a pass or a punt, he tends to not catch it. He tends to drop it, and it's costing the 49ers. Should he be on the team?
I was extremely surprised he made the team, and I think he made the team because of his blocking and his toughness. If you watched him in the preseason, he was blocking the hell out of guys off the sideline. Like, just, but Kyle, I think Kyle focuses on that a little too much. Yes, blocking is important, particularly for your run game. But you need guys that can catch the ball. And we saw Ronnie Bell throughout the last 2 years in the preseason have issues catching the ball. He had one touchdown last year, and that was good. But if you looked at him the preseason this year and you look at him the preseason last year, he caused two interceptions last year. I believe one was off of Brock, one was off of Trey Lance, I believe, in the preseason where the ball hit him in the hands, flipped up in the air, interception. For whatever reason, Ronnie Bell needs to get on the Jordan Mason offseason workout plan and just stand in front of a jugs machine and catch it. I hate being mean.
Can he do that while he's on the practice squad, though?
Yes, he could. He needs to do that.
If they waived him today, would he get caught? Would he get picked up? I don't know.
No. Here's the thing. To answer your question, I was surprised he made the team, and yes, he should get cut. I hate to pick on young Ronnie Bell. I hope he works it out and gets on the jug machine and figures it out, but I would much have one of these young receivers that they do have on the practice squad, Marshall or Tariq Owens. Move those guys up. Give them an opportunity because they can actually catch the ball, which is the main job of a wide receiver. And I don't blame Ronnie Bell for that last night because he shouldn't have been in the game. Why do you have him over Cowan and Conley? That's a Kyle Shanahan decision that cost them the game. People can be mad at Ronnie Bell, but Ronnie Bell did what Ronnie Bell does, drops passes. We've all seen it. So why was he on the field? That's a Kyle Shanahan mistake. It wasn't Ronnie Bell's fault that Ronnie Bell went out and did what Ronnie Bell does.
Yeah, the two wide receivers on the practice squad are Terrace Marshall Jr. and Trent Taylor. Pick one of them.
Yeah.
Pick one of them. Or sign someone else.
Get Marshall. Yeah. Marshall's got the speed. I'm good on Taylor. He shouldn't be here either.
You can't be on the team. I'm sorry. Like, this is a football team. Like, you're not good enough at your job. And you cost him a victory. I don't think there's any reason to keep him. He was a 7th-round pick. Not a lot of upside there. They're not overly invested in him. Got to go. And in this game, I mean, they could have used Cowing. They could have used Chris Conley. Either one. The fact that they were so stuck on Ronnie Bell is just disconcerting. Because again, it's like, Kyle, this is your decision, man. We like your playbook. But do you know who your best players are on your team? Do you?
Often
did you not. Know that Juwan Jennings was better than Deebo, or did you just learn that today? Did you know that Jacob Cowing is better than Ronnie Bell, or did you just learn that today? How come you learn these things when we learn these things? You're the head coach. You're at practice. You don't even open the practice up to the media. You should be the one. You're the guy with the eye, with the genius, and your dad watches too. Like, did you just learn now? It's not okay. And to me, with Kyle, it's like, what could ultimately get him fired is this stuff, like personnel management, general manager stuff. Like, you drafted Ricky Pearsall because you didn't understand that Juwan Jennings was more than a wide receiver 3. Like, they wrote that whole 3rd and Juwan thing is kind of patronizing. No, he's better than that. He's not a 3rd down receiver. He's a number one option.
Yeah,
you named him 3rd and Juwan.
I tell you what, though, I am looking forward to seeing Ricky Pearsall in 2 weeks. He's not going to play in this Patriots game, but from what I'm hearing, he has a good chance of playing in week 5, and they really need him to live up to the draft capital at 31 in order to justify that decision in general. So, yeah, man. Well, look at that segue. Ricky P. That's going to be a popular jersey in Northern California for other reasons.
Wait for it.
Besides football.
Wait for it. I really wish I got the Jennings jersey, though. Can you imagine? That's a popular jersey right now. The Jennings jersey.
Yeah.
That would be one jersey you could wear around town with pride. But you'd have to dye your hair red. Sorry. That's the rules.
Right.
Jared Owen says it won't matter if they get CMC back. CMC and company back. Purdy is going to be on IR by week 6 with how right tackle and center block. Whew. Easy Tino says Brandon Ayuk is slightly better than Brandon Lloyd, not worth $30 million of Denise York's money. The Yorks got lined up. Brandon Lloyd had a really good year with Mike Shanahan when I was in college.
He had hands, man.
He did have hands. I don't even think Ayuk.
He doesn't have those
hands. Interesting comparison. Brandon Lloyd had a year he had like 1,600 yards.
Yeah.
Hit that 1 year. Moon Man. Is that Mooney Ward? Moon Man, thank you for the super sticker. You know what the Rams did to Mooney Ward? That was smart. He was on the injury report with hamstring, right? Mm-hmm. And a knee?
Yeah.
And he missed a practice? Well, with the game on the line, they matched him up against their fastest wide receiver. Like, smart.
Yeah, it was. And that's smart. Why I'm trying not to be too hard on Mooney Ward, because he was a knee and a hamstring short in that game.
And he played as opposed to Kittle. And I'm not saying Kittle could have, but Mooney played at less than 100% and didn't embarrass himself, but brought negative 10. I mean, had a bad play, had a bad game.
I would enjoy.
Lil Shanny says, call Belichick, I'll beat Zoxy. That's funny. Josh Wyatt says, why was Ronnie Bell open the game's most important play? Because no one in the Rams viewed him as a deep threat. Kyle outsmarted himself again.
He really wasn't open, though. He was actually bracketed. He has a safety and a wide receiver on him. Brock Purdy threw it short, which actually helped. He threw it short so Bell could come back to it. In the corner, outran it. So he really wasn't wide open, actually.
Proppa says, every team thinks they have a top 10 receiver. No need to pay $30 million if it's not Jefferson, Tyreek, or Chase.
It's not.
Even if it's Tyreek or Chase. Even if it's Chase. Like, is that? I don't know.
The Chief said, peace out to Tyreek, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it seems to me you can pay for a wide receiver if you're going to go the Sam Darnold route. Like, you know what? We don't have a franchise quarterback, and we're going to try to make it work with a guy who's been passed over, someone who's a little bit cheaper. Fine. We're going to spend $10 million on our quarterback this year. Great. Then definitely keep Justin Jefferson. But if you feel you got that quarterback, like we got Josh Allen, then you got to trust him to make it work with younger receivers or less highly paid receivers, because he's the truth. And it, like, Brock Purdy just showed that he could do that yesterday. He did it with Juwan. He doesn't necessarily need to have $100 million around him on offense. That's a good sign.
Brock runs the offense. If you have a receiver that can catch the ball and run Kyle's offense, that's all you need.
Yes. So maybe take the $30 million with Ayuk and the $24 with Brandon and put it onto your freaking defense or your offensive line. I'm just saying. It's a thought. Fish and chips. 2023 will go down in Niners history. Was Kyle Shanahan's chance? Yeah. Stingray, HH5, says defense sucks. The middle is always open. Corey Soto says, I think what's wrong, Kyle, is he read some books Bosa recommended, all sorts of weird ideas. That was so funny. So it was like, someone said, did Bosa recommend some books for you this offseason? Like, well, I mean, I hadn't read in a while, so I asked him for recommendation. He gave me some. And they were like, so what did you read? And he was like, I don't remember what it was called. Who reads a book and then doesn't remember what it was? Like, you invested a week into that and you didn't even pick up the title?
He didn't
read it. I call BS.
He didn't read it.
That was like when LeBron James had that book and he like opened it up to the first page to show that he had read it. But he didn't. Okay, before we move on, I want to show you something. Got a little shipment from Via Hemp that I think you would be interested in. It's curated especially for me, but if you go and use the promo code in my link, you could get 15% off. And look at the stuff that they give you. I'm going to show you the type of gummies that they sent me. And you tell me on a scale of 1 to 10 how interested you are and what setting you would use it. Cloud 9. This is for relief, okay? And it has medium THC. Cloud 9.
Relief.
What are you thinking?
Relief.
So like after the Niners blow a 10-point lead to the Rams?
Oh, you could have used it as a 10 last night. Yeah.
Yeah. So look, if you're looking for something when the Niners are letting you down, the green label. How about this one? Elevate. It's to help your focus. What about that one?
Well, as a man with ADHD, I could definitely use some focus in my life. So, yes.
This seems like it's good. And it's also Pacific Peach, which just sounds delicious.
Pacific Peach?
Yeah.
As opposed to Atlantic.
So, like, maybe, like, when the Niners lose to the Rams and you're trying to really focus afterward on, like, how it happened, this one might bring some insight.
There you go.
Okay. What about this one? Dreams. It's supposed to help you sleep, and the taste is midnight berry. So when you're sleeping about how the Niners blew a 10-point lead to the Rams, this might help you organize your thoughts in your dreams.
You know what? I think that one's probably for somebody, not for me. By the time it's like 9:30, I'm exhausted, and I lay down, I watch a show for like 5 minutes, and I'm asleep. But I know a lot of people have sleep issues, and they could definitely benefit from that.
I do have sleep issues. My issue isn't getting to sleep. It's staying asleep. I wake up at 2 in the morning, and I start thinking about my entire life. It gives me anxiety. My life is chaos. So this one right here helps. But there's more. You think they would stop there? No. This is called High Love. I don't know. I don't know what context I would use this. Maybe if I was on a romantic evening talking about how the Niners blew a 10-point lead to the Rams, this would be the right.
You could both have one together.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you could look at the stat sheet and be like, oh, look at this play. Kyle Shanahan did it again. And then if you want to keep it light, you know, there's just the CBDs. You got your CBD. This is a CBD sleep one or a CBD flow state. Everyone likes being in the flow state. And then you got things in little pouches, which is nice, too. I like a pouch.
Yeah.
So.
Like a kangaroo.
Go to fire, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hold on. What am I wanting to say? If you're 21 and over, check out the link to Viya in the description and use code CONE, C-O-H-N, to receive %15 off. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them I sent you, Grant Cohn. Prioritize your recovery and enhance your everyday with Viya. Again, use the code in the description for 15% off. Promo code CONE for some top quality gummies. And it really, really takes the edge off when the Niners ruin your day. Okay.
Yeah. I think I have a marketing opportunity for you.
Tell me.
I think you need to be sponsored by a corn dog company, and they can call them cone dogs. Cone dogs. I think that's brilliant marketing right there.
I think that could be. I think I could just go in the corn dog business and just retire from sports.
Cone dogs.
Ethan M says this whole show should be about Kyle's mistakes. We're not done. Fish and Chip says give Kyle Shanahan the hemp to get over the hump. That's might be what he needs.
He needs the focus one. Yeah.
Anoop says Kyle lost the team in Super Bowl 58. Super Bowl hangover is here. We're going to talk about that. Niner Rob says, stop overreacting to JJ. Kyle clearly called his number. Non-ever praising seed Richie James like this. Also, BA didn't have that bad of a game. Stop overreacting to JJ. Kyle clearly called his number. Okay. I don't really know what you mean, but okay. Thank you. Okay. Moving on. Is Kyle Shanahan losing the team?
They
didn't play that hard this game. They didn't play that hard the last game. Nick Bosa's talking about they need to feel the loss and not act like everything's fine. That's kind of a troubling thing to say. I don't know. Year 8, defense is falling off. Is Kyle losing the team?
I'm going to say it's possible, but I think if most people watch that game, well, I'm sure some people wondering why Ronnie Bell was on the field. That's a Kyle thing. But I'm also thinking a lot of the team looks at that defense last night and wonders how the hell they could give up 27 points to that team. So it's impossible for me to answer this question. Is it possible? Yes. Now, look, Deebo Samuel says he thought he had the best roster in the NFL for the last 5-6 years, but they can't win the thing. So if you have the best roster in the NFL, but you're not winning Super Bowls or you're losing to the worst defense in the NFL against the Rams. If you're a player and you really believe you have the best roster, but you're losing, I mean, what are you drawn to equivocate that to? It has to be coaching at some point. Now, I don't know if the game last night specifically would make them lose to Kyle Shanahan, because that game didn't really seem like it was on Kyle as much as the defense coordinators, but Kyle put those pieces in place. He put Ronnie Bell on the field. I think if this continues this year, I think the answer will absolutely be yes. As of right now, I'm not sure if that's the case. I don't know.
It feels like he's losing the team. It feels like what happened to Harbaugh. And I happened to Harbaugh faster, and I did think he lost that team. Maybe he could have rebuilt. It was year 4, and he's intense. Still, what I think happens is whatever – message you're trying to impart on the team, just they don't hear it. Like this week, Kyle said, like, look, I mean, I tried to tell him the Rams aren't going to roll over. This is a desperate team. We're going to get their best shot. They were embarrassed last week by the Cardinals. Those teams are hard to face. And it seemed like the message just didn't get across. The Niners, I mean, according to Bosa, they just didn't feel that loss last week. And it seemed like the Niners thought they were just going to roll over on that the Rams are going to roll over, and they didn't. So Kyle tried to tell him. They didn't hear it. And now Bosa saying, we got to feel this loss. Like, isn't that something that the coach would say? Isn't that, I mean, really, if he hasn't lost the team, his job this week is to be the therapist of the team. you guys aren't that bad. Don't get down on yourselves. Like, he has to get some confidence back into this team, because right now, they look shell-shocked.
Well, New England's a good way to do it. I think the 49ers are going to beat New England at home this coming week, so that'll help. But then they got to go against the Cardinals and the Seahawks that could pose some potential problems for this team.
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. But again, like, this team isn't at the level where they can just be like, oh, well, we have the Patriots this week, we'll win. No, because that's what you thought the last 2 weeks. And the Patriots, no, they're not good, but they do have a good defense, and they did beat the Bengals. So they could beat you, too, if you do what you did yesterday. Not you. Well,
here's the thing, man. What you posted a poll on your Twitter that I noticed. I was surprised by it. You asked the fan base, are they losing confidence in Kyle Shanahan? And I believe 69% said yes, which is, if you asked that question 2 months ago, it would have been the opposite.
I asked it after last week's game, and 55% said no, but it was pretty split. And then as far as this one goes, it's at 61% yes for Kyle Shanahan, and more than 5,000 people have voted. If you want to vote, it's on my Twitter, and there's 7 hours left to participate. Are you losing confidence in Kyle Shanahan now? Yes, 61%. No, 39%. Wow, it's week 3.
And I've seen it in my chats and in my comments on my videos. I'm seeing it in the chat today. Seems like a lot of fans are headed more in that direction than they've ever been. He still has a lot of support from a lot of people, but I feel like it's leaning more in that direction. And you would assume that the team, maybe not as high as a degree as the fan base, but you see the trend of the direction so far. From the fan base, I imagine the trend with the team is going in the same direction. Again, though, I don't know if the whole team's just out on Kyle Shanahan. But if they don't do well this season, absolutely. But, you know, it's a long season, so we'll see. It's only week 3.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyle, it's been 8 years. They've won a Super Bowl. Fans are frustrated, maybe the players too. But they also have been patient, and I think they've bought into Kyle's narratives. Like, it's not my fault we lost the Super Bowl. It's Jimmy's fault. Or it's not my fault we lost the Super Bowl. It's Steve Wilkes' fault. And I think fans are like, okay, we're on board with that. And now you can't throw another defensive coordinator under the bus. You can't throw Brock under the bus. So if you struggle, if you lose, fans are going to put it on you, and there's nothing you can do. You can't say it's special teams. That's on you. It's Ronnie Bell. That's on you. Shouldn't have played him. Shouldn't have had him on the team. Like, it all goes back to Kyle, and I think fans are finally not, like, getting it, but I think it's the aha moment, kind of.
Yeah. Well, Brock's good. Brock's the best quarterback that Kyle Shanahan has ever had on the 49ers. So it's Brock's not the problem, right? And I guess if you look at a problem with this team, it's the defense and the O-line parts of it, Jake Brendel, Colton McKivitz, but that's a Kyle Shanahan philosophy that you're seeing at work. So eventually you keep not living up to the potential of the roster. When you have a really good roster and you have a quarterback that's probably top 10 in the NFL, there's only one answer left, and that's coaching. And the coaches that he put in place, you can put it down to the coordinators. Well, those are the guys Kyle put in place. Ultimately, it all comes down to Kyle, and eventually you wear out your welcome. Kind of like how Harbaugh seems to do it quicker. Yep. But Kyle, I think at some point he will, and he has to win. He has to capitalize, and that includes with ownership. I know they extended him, and they've been thrilled and supported him thus far, but if he continues to do this at some point, it reaches a point where you're like, all right, enough. And then a lot of people, the fan base, will say, well, he'll be hired the next day. Of course he will. He absolutely will. But that doesn't mean he's the right coach for this situation right here, right? It's like when you have a girlfriend that's beautiful but toxic for you. She's not the right woman for you. Can she go get a new boyfriend the next day? Sure. But that doesn't mean she's the right person for you. And eventually that might be the situation with Kyle Shanahan.
I completely agree. And I think there are so many parallels to the 2014 team. 10 years ago, that team was coming off of 3 straight NFC championship appearances. Plus they had gone to a Super Bowl and lost. Very similar situation. A lot of that Super Bowl hangover and frustration. They start off 2014. If you remember, they start off in Dallas, week 1. And the morning of the game, Ian Rappaport says, Jim Harbaugh has lost the Niners locker room. And it's like, how? They haven't even played a game yet. They win. And he takes this whole victory lap, like our players have titanium in their spine and we're such a great team and we're all together. And that was a stupid report and we're stronger than ever. They lose next week to the Bears. They lose after that to the Cardinals. They went and lost to freaking like Drew Stanton or something. So they dropped two in a row right after their big triumphant week one win. Then they get it together. We win three in a row. They're back. And they lose two in a row. And they win three in a row. They're back. Then they lose four in a row. It was just that kind of a year. And I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go. We've seen the Niners pull out of it and go on these runs. But if this is the Super Bowl hangover year, then I could see them winning a couple, losing a couple, winning a couple, losing a couple.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. Niner Rob got you. DeMarcus Jones, it's a weird team that drafts this well. Feels like it has to lean on washed up bets. Yeah.
Well, I mean, those relationships also, that's the problem. It's good to have good relationships with your players, but not if it's overshadowing decision-making based purely on football. And I think we see a lot, like guys are getting paid. Maybe they shouldn't be getting paid as much, but the relationship, guys are being played. Maybe they shouldn't be played as much, but the relationship gets in the way. And he's got to make football decisions and not friend.
Yeah, this like you gave Christian McCaffrey a new deal with 2 years of guaranteed money before you really knew what you had in Jordan Mason. Why? Because Christian's your friend because you went to his wedding. Like he's a 28-year-old running back with a ton of tread on his tires, and you have this incredible backup. Maybe no. Like you gave Brandon Ayuk this extension before you really knew what you had in Juwan Jennings. Like maybe don't do that. You drafted Ricky Pierce all in round one before you really knew what you had, and you didn't know what you had in Brock Purdy until two other quarterbacks got hurt. I mean, we're gonna have to wait another 3 years before Jacob Cowan gets to play because of you. Like that stuff is costing them in so many different ways.
And here's the thing: like that Christian McCaffrey contract is really bad. Not because Christian McCaffrey's not a good player, but because he has a hamstring issue. You're giving him guaranteed
Achilles,
money.
Achilles.
As a 28-year-old running back, or Achilles, calf. That's what I meant. That's worse. Like if you have a calf hamstring, Achilles issue, and you're a 28-year-old running back, that's a bad contract decision right there. And I think, friendship plays a big part of it.
Joseph for real says the super chat AI gives the worst word prediction, so the supers become chaotic like Shanahan's team in a lead. Please, Grant, rip Kyle a new one every opportunity possible. Look, I've been thinking about this. I don't want to go too hard in September because we've seen the Niners start off slow, and they do get the benefit of the doubt that they might be able to turn it around. But when this is clear, if this becomes clear that they're going to miss the playoffs this year, I'll be ready. Don't worry. Richie says Kyle Shanahan has already lost the team. I think the better question is, does Jed realize it? And if so, is Jed already day working on his short lists? Well, you know the report I gave out a few weeks ago. Heads will roll is what I heard. They better make the freaking playoffs. Tua Lohr says, Grant, is Shanny and Lynch on the pace? Seriously, can be our Lynch want Cowing, but Shanahan don't know.
Yeah, so that's the thing. John Lynch said on KNBR that Cowan is a guy that should get opportunities this week, and he got none. Mm-hmm.
So it seems like there's a disconnect there. Like, Kyle. Meanwhile, Guerrero gets a bunch of carries because Kyle traded up for him, clearly. Mm-hmm. Nick Falcon, grass isn't always green, but if they get rid of Kyle, better hit on the next hire, something Jed hasn't been great with.
It's true. But
Cameron Azell,
I also hate the, you know, the Jim. What do you want, Jim Tomsula? No. No one's saying we want – I still haven't said fire Kyle. But if they move on from Kyle at some point, no, we don't want Jim Tomsula. We want someone that can finish.
Cameron Ezell says, this is all Kyle's fault. His team is his staff. Helper Man 123 says, this is 100% coaching issue. The Belichick's Patriot had less talent on their roster on average than this Niners roster. Those Pats got it done. Jeff Caravella says, here's a question for Kyle. Is the poor defensive performance tied to the loss of Wilkes or Gibson? And Armstead, what do you think he says? There's no common denominator. You know, it's just three games. There's no common denominator. TNK Hunting Gear says, Larry Kruger posted a video of Hargrave going 25% in a play, embarrassing and poorly coached.
Yeah, Grant posted that one too.
Yeah, Nick Falcon says, the grass isn't always greener on the other side, but if they get rid of Kyle, better hit on the next hire. Something. Got you, Nick. Red Jet Shell, new member. Thank you. Dave Barclay says, Grant, please ask Kyle what team he'll be on next.
Dave.
You are a little devil. I love it. Might be a big devil. You know, I don't. Last question of the day. How many games will the Niners win this season? We all go through the schedule when it comes out. And I picked 11 wins. You picked 12. Now we're three games in, and maybe it's irresponsible to change our predictions, but damn, this defense stinks. So let's go through it game by game. Next week, New England. I think we can agree that's a game the Niners should win.
Yeah, I agree.
But let's just, instead of like, we can pick out wins and losses in a minute, but let's just go through quickly and just pick out tough games.
Yeah.
Arizona week 5. Tough. That's a tough game.
Yeah.
Seattle week 6. On the road. Tough game.
Really tough.
Kansas City at home. Tough game.
Yes.
Dallas at home. I don't know. They've lost to some playoff teams. I think that might be a tough game.
They're both 1-2 right now.
Yeah. Bye week. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are giving me a little bit of fraudulent vibes. I don't know what to think of them.
Is that home?
No, it's on the road. So that's not a gimme.
Yeah.
Then Seattle again. Then Green Bay on the road. That's tough. Then Buffalo on the road. That's tough.
By the time they play Green Bay and Buffalo, it's going to be cold. Keep that in mind.
So Chicago Bears at home after that, that's winnable for sure. Rams at home. They just lost to the Rams. Then Miami on the road. God knows who their quarterback will be. If it's Skylar Thompson, that's an easy win. Detroit at home.
That's tough.
Arizona on the road.
Another tough one.
It's a tough schedule. So I'm not saying they're going to lose every tough game, but what if they lose half of them? Let me count real quick the tough games. Arizona twice, Seattle twice, the Rams once, Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay.
Detroit.
That's 9 tough games. They've already lost 2. I'm not saying they're going to lose 11 games this year, but what if? I mean, what are they going to go in their division? They're already 0-1 in their division. Are they going to go 3-3?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
3-3? Okay. Yeah. So that's 5 losses. No. Yeah. So they already have 2. That's 2 more losses coming up. That'll be 4.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City?
They've never beaten them. You have to mark that as a loss until they show us they can beat these guys.
5? I mean, Green Bay?
Detroit?
Buffalo? Like, that's looking like 8 losses right there.
Buffalo and Green Bay in the weather? Especially if it's raining. Brock has struggled in the rain. If it's cold and raining, that's tough, man. That's a tough.
If they go 3-3 in their division and lose to Kansas City, Buffalo, Detroit, and Green Bay, that's 9-8.
It's
9-8.
I have them after last night, and you know, we can only base things on week to week. Before the season, I had them 12-5. Mm-hmm. Right now, I would have them 10-7. At best, fighting for the wild card spot in the playoffs. That's how I see them right now. Now, they've gone on runs before. They could do it again. We'll see. Maybe they get hot at the right time. Greenlaw comes back. CMC, Debo, all these guys come back. B.A. and Trent get back in their healthy thing. Kyle gets in his zone, and they go on a run. But right now, that's kind of how I see them. 9-10 wins at best, fighting for a wild card spot as of today. That's what I see.
I feel like 8 or 9 wins. Honestly, maybe I'm overreacting here, but the reason I feel this way is like, if it was the offense, I'd say this is a team that could run the table when they get healthy. It's not the offense. It's the defense. And yeah, like getting Christian McCaffrey back potentially would make the offense even better and it could overcome a bad defense, but a bad defense is a bad defense. And we don't know when Greenlaw's coming back or what condition he'll be in coming off an Achilles with no offseason. I think it's all him anyway. I think it's much bigger than him. Yeah. And I didn't expect that coming into the season. Maybe we should have, but I didn't expect that this defense could tank.
Here's the thing too, man. You can win with offense only. You can have an offensive only team and win if it's the kind of offense that could drop back and pass at any moment. And that's not the strength of the 49ers. The 49ers offense is predicated on running the ball, getting in front and holding teams off. And that's their whole philosophy, and that's what they're built for. But when you're in battles where you got to throw the ball, you got to drop back and pass known passing downs, that's the worst part about this offense. So it's not enough. You need the defense. This whole offense is predicated on the defense.
To me, if you want to be good at drop back passing, you have to empower the quarterback. Like this whole like, oh, don't set the protections and just,
you have to have an O-line.
Well, hold on. Look, not even like Peyton Manning didn't necessarily have the best offensive line. He got the ball out quick. This is what I'm talking about. Like if you put the guy under center and say, well, we're going to do play action and we're going to have all these shifts and motions. Like when it comes to actually, when you want to drop back pass, you get in the shotgun and you spread out the defense. None of this tight formation stuff. That's all play action stuff. When you're getting dominated by blitzes and the play action isn't working and you got to win with drop back, you go shotgun spread. Like Tom Brady lived his entire career in that. Peyton Manning, his entire career in that. Why? Because if you give them 20 seconds at the line of scrimmage or even less than that, but if you get them up there, no huddle, go to the line of scrimmage, spread out, no shifts, no motions. He can see what the defense is going to do. Yeah. And then he can call a play that can beat it. Right. He can set the protection. Like, he's the offensive coordinator. How many different offensive coordinators did Tom Brady have? How many different offensive coordinators did Peyton Manning have? Plenty.
Yeah.
Their offenses were always good because they were the guys making the decision at the line of scrimmage. And it wasn't a product of freaking play action. It was drop back. And right. If you think Brock is that good, which he might be, I don't know. We don't know yet. We didn't know how good Juwan was until yesterday. If you think Brock is that good, then you have to turn the offense over to him at some point. Otherwise, he never will be that good.
And Brock's got to take it. I know it's hard, and it might be next year after he gets paid. It might not be this year where he's confident enough to do that. But that's what it's going to take for this team to elevate and for Brock Purdy to reach that elite level. He's got to take it. It wasn't given. They didn't just say, here, Tom Brady, you lead us. They didn't say that with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady took it. They made it obvious to where, like, I'm going to take control of it. Like, call an audible, convert, execute, and that builds that trust. And that's what Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, those guys did. They earned the right to do that. It wasn't just given to them. So Brock's going to have to take it. And it might not be this year as he's trying to earn his contract. Maybe this year his mind is, let me just execute Kyle Shanahan, what he wants me to do perfectly. And maybe that happens next year when Brock Purdy is making five times what Kyle Shanahan is making. That's something. I mean, they don't have that. And that was my original point, is they don't have the ability to drop back and pass like that right now. At least they haven't shown us.
But Kyle has to give it up too. And Kyle's smart. I mean, he wants to win a Super Bowl. He wants to stay employed. I think he understands that once you give the offense to the quarterback, you're not important anymore.
Your value,
your genius, whatever you bring to the table doesn't matter. Because again, Brady, it didn't matter who was offensive coordinator. It could have been Josh McDaniels.
Nobody knows. Like, nobody
could have been Byron Leftwich. It right. could have been Charlie Weiss. It didn't right. freaking matter. And when those guys left Brady, they were nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Right. Same with Peyton Manning. He had like Adam Gase for years. He was a terrible coach. But with Peyton Manning, it worked because Peyton was the coach. And like, Kyle doesn't want that to happen. To be like an appendage of Brock Purdy's greatness. Like, no, that can't happen. But I don't see how you counter what defenses are giving you right now. Everyone knows how to stop the Niners offense. You put six on the line, show pressure. All of a sudden, Kyle won't call play action. He's going to go to he understands you have to beat it with shotgun spread, but that part of his playbook sucks.
And that's the thing, man. When you have a defense that's bottom three in the league, which this defense is right now, you have to be able to pass the ball and passing downs. Like, you have to be able to go out there, drop back, and sling it. And that's
not you got the quarterback and the skill position guys to do it. When you spend this much money on weapons and quarterbacks, like, you haven't paid on the quarterback yet, but you will. The expectation is you could be down 30. Doesn't matter. You can score fast. I mean, right. It matters, but you can come back from behind. You're paying for that.
Yeah.
You're not paying for defense. I guess you kind of are. That's what makes it so bad. Dave Barclays says, Grant, got you. Carson, Kyle Shanahan will finally find a way for us to lose the gimme games.
Kyle Shanahan. I don't know if you saw
Kyle
that.
Kyle Shanahan. I like that. Fish and chips D, all expected with the surfboard at defensive coordinator. Oof. Oof. All right.
He seems like a surfer.
He does seem kind of like a surfer. That's the show. Conan Hensley. We had a long one today. I had a lot to talk about. Ryan.
Four Man Front this Thursday is on my channel. So come on over.
That's right.
Thursday, 6 p.m.
Subscribe to Ryan's channel. Subscribe to mine. Like the stream. And be there on Thursday. See ya. Take care.
Super chat, $1.99.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.